This is Fanboy versus Transformers with Chris, Rob Clay, Brickinator, and Matt.
So this week it's Fanboy versus Transformers, The Transformers, Issue 41, Combiner Wars Part 4. And I'm pretty sure I got all of those numbers right for once, because I wrote them down. So, Rob, Mark, Matt, how are you guys doing this week?
Not too bad.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty good?
I imagine it was better before you read this issue.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's been a couple weeks since we got together, because, like, for once we didn't have, like, you know, alternating weeks on and off with these issues, so, it's been a nice break, but I think we should just, like, jump right back into this and get going before we lose our motivation entirely. So,
and the will to live, yes.
You could call the will to live a motivation also. It's the motivation not to just die.
That's true.
I have less of that now, but we'll get there.
Yes.
Hey, you know, the Windblade issue at the end of the month that wraps up Combiner Wars, Sarah Stone's back.
Yes!
Supposedly. So there's something
I'll believe
to look,
it when I see it.
There's something to look forward to. Anyway. So in the less secret prison, Optimus is visiting the incarcerated Prowl. Now, Prowl is still all in a wad here. Even though he agrees with Prime's outlook that Starscream won't always be in charge, it'll always be a Cybertronian running the show. And that seems to be a problem for Prowl still, although that's not really laid out very clearly again. But, you know, Prowl kind of points out the situation right now. Starscream has no power of his own to count on. Defensor and Superion are only aligned with Starscream because Optimus is backing him. When that changes, the Combiners will turn just as quickly. So Starscream is going to need a power that follows him exclusively. So Starscream, meanwhile, is returning from a goodwill visit to Kaminus. He wants Wheeljack to work faster on linking to the other colonies because this storyline's almost over. And, you know, he wants to spread his benevolence further into the galaxy. But while Wheeljack works on that, Starscream has other things to attend to. Starscream introduces Scoop to the really secret prison, saying hi to Sandstorm along the way, since Transformers' punishment was sadly a thing that happened. Boy, that was some punishment, alright. Starscream, Scoop, and Rattrap visit the Constructicons, and boy, does Starscream have an offer for them. And it just so happens to involve a critique of Scoop's color coordination at the same time. So, over at McAdams, the place is pretty dead, as all of Blur's regulars are in Kaminus helping to rebuild and enjoying being appreciated. Ironhide and Mirage, two of the current 3.5 patrons, have a talk, revealing their shared vision to each other. Sunstreaker then joins the conversation, suggesting that maybe they're misunderstanding the nature of what they've experienced. Instead of signs of an actual future, they're picking up echoes of the thoughts of others and what they want to make the future become. Deciding this is credible, the three decide that Optimus must be informed. So, elsewhere, Starscream stands with a newly reconstituted Devastator, sporting one bright orange leg, and absent exactly one police car. With Scoop incorporated into the Combiner, Devastator now has an imperative to serve the Chosen One, and Starscream has a Combiner he can count on. But as he looks for his Yes Man, Rattrap has strangely disappeared. One of Starscream's enforcers at the secret prison meets an unfortunate end as Rattrap disables and then rips his insides out with tooth and claw before making off with the keycard. He heads straight for Swindle, setting him loose to begin a distraction. Over in the less secret prison, Optimus tries to sympathize with Prowl, acknowledging a line of what Prowl has seen as personal betrayals, going up to as recently as Spike. But Prowl notes that Optimus has left a name off the list. A rumbling interrupts their talk, and part of the wall falls away, revealing Menasor rampaging across the city. Ironhide, Mirage, and Sunstreaker arrive, and as Optimus asks who could be responsible for this, Prowl confidently declares he knows. Swindle's leading any Decepticons who want to follow out from the ghetto to find a better life on Kaminus. Wheeljack prepares to defend the Space Bridge room while Windblade orders the bridge deactivated, but as Minasaur tears open the roof, it's kind of too late. So Starscream deploys Devastator to take control of the situation, but battling in the Space Bridge room, the two Combiners fall through the portal and land on Kaminus. Things then quickly get out of hand as Swindle and his followers try to force their way into the Space Bridge. Defensor and Superion respond to the other Combiners having landed on the planet, not understanding that Devastator is actually trying to stop Menasor and probably protect Camnus. Defensor gets heavily damaged, leaving Superion to fight both Menasor and Devastator back toward the portal. Meanwhile, the fighting in the Space Bridge room causes a malfunction, and the bridge jumps to another destination as Superion and Menasor fall through it. Rattrap arrives at the prison, reporting to Prowl, admitting he probably made a bit of a mistake in his choice of distractions, but he's gotten possession of the Enigma, and at Prowl's order, and over Optimus' protest, uses it on the assembled group. On the unknown planet, Defensor comes crashing down on top of Menasor and Superion, followed by Devastator, instructing them to stand down or be killed. Devastator has no preference, but the final arrival through the space bridge decides that's not Devastator's decision anymore, as the combined form of Optimus, Sunstreaker, Mirage, and Ironhide and Prowl declares it's time to take control. So, reading through this the second time, it struck me very clearly, boy, this sure is half of a finale.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully next time we'll get the half that makes sense.
Yeah, this was very setup heavy and not enough payoff, definitely.
I think the best thing that could have happened with this was for it to come out the same week as the next issue of Windblade. So you could just, read them back to back. As it is, I think we're going to have at least a week between them. But we'll get there eventually. First thing is, they actually try to explain the visions that Mirage and Ironhide had by making them make less sense.
There's one thing I kind of like about this, is that it helps Ironhide's vision make a bit more sense, because it had his own biases, his own wants for a good future in there. And, it makes a lot of sense why he's also depressed when it didn't come true as well. So in some ways it melds it together like that, but it's pretty darn vague. And the fact that they decided to run the Optimus, and I think the exact line is, Optimus, we've got an idea. it's pretty flimsy motivation to just show up,
Well, there's a lot of flimsy in this issue.
Yeah.
A lot of flimsy in this whole storyline.
Yeah. No, but, this whole, mind space thing and the vague notion of, they shared some experiences, so obviously that must mean they're connected in some way, but we're not going to really explain that or even go into any sort of detail. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of liked it better when it was just, here's a future that might happen. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
This would make more sense if it was after they'd combined and somehow they had already been in a combined space. But this is almost like some sort of retroactive, we're going to combine in the future, so our minds are already connected kind of time loop stuff.
I think this might be John Barber, who is, known for his, continuity feats, stretching maybe a little bit too hard to deal with Ironhide's visions and kind of get them out of the way. And I'm not sure it's working.
Really, I think Dark Cybertron handled that as well as it needed to by just saying, this is the future now, and what you saw before doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all visions don't have to come true. I mean, in fiction, they usually do just for conservation of detail, but they don't have to.
And, Ironhide's vision was a product of, I think, Mike Costa wanting to just leave a mark on his way out the door. Everything switched over, and this is kind of just having to deal with that. Mirage's vision an issue ago, that ended up more in terms of, a vision where everything was representative and symbolic, not, a very specific literal thing that was happening.
Yeah.
And in that way, I can kind of see this work, the explanation now working a little better. It just doesn't fit with what Ironhide's had happen.
It probably would have been better if that issue had never even been referenced in continuity for any reason.
Mirages?
Ironhides.
Oh. Yeah, but it was there and John Barber.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a funny line there where Mirage says, you were seeing what others wanted to shape the future into, and I almost want to take that as a meta joke, that they're saying, that was a vision of what, Costa wanted, but no, this is John Barber and others. This is what we're doing.
Now that you say that, I wouldn't be surprised if that was partly true. little tongue-in-cheek there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then there's actually an interesting thing that they throw out in dialogue here, saying that the natural state of a combiner is to be combined, and then they just hand-wave it away.
Mm-hmm.
This is some instrumentality-level stuff, you know? Everyone should just, you know, come together in that. Giant naked rays and everything, you know. This is where this is going.
Does it have to?
Well, I don't know who's going to do what to who in a coma, but Springer's in a coma already, so oh god.
I think we can stop now.
Please?
Yes. Please? Yes.
Oh dear. No, but I mean, okay, so like partly that fits into Prowl's view that everybody should just be linked up to him because he's the only one that actually understands what's going on in his mind. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of meshing with the truth of what they're showing. Like Superion previously trying to explain to Optimus that being a combiner is more than the sum of its parts. But again, in that case, they also just kind of brushed that aside and didn't go anywhere with it. Like, they're presenting interesting ideas, but they're not doing anything with them.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're almost like just facts that are sprinkled in there, but they're not plot relevant.
Perhaps if they would have started putting some of this stuff in the issues prior instead of waiting into the last two, I don't know, maybe they could have, you know, had some more. I don't know.
And, like, I question, you know, how much of a presence the combiners are going to be after this, because, like, we know the Windblade story is going to be basically Transformers Cybertron, where they're visiting other colony worlds. I'm not sure if Robots in Disguise is going to end up having room for, or the Transformers, excuse me. I don't know if it's going to end up having room for more combiner stories. So, like, is there even going to be an opportunity to bring any of this back up and explore it later? You know, it seems to me like they're putting these things out there and basically wasting them because there's no time to actually dig in.
Yeah, and I mean, they took Prowl, who's a major character, away from the Constructicons, and replaced him with Scoop, who's a side character. So we can keep Prowl in the books and forget about the Constructicons. So that kind of lends credence to that theory, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I bet this week that orders for that Transformers Adventure recolor of Scoop are going to go way up.
Well, here's what I'm expecting. Like, since Devastator has an orange leg now, I'm expecting at Comic-Con an orange G2 Devastator, and somewhere on the packaging it's going to reference this, you know, orange leg Devastator, and be like, you know, get both and mix and match.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, like, with all this stuff that I'm realizing here, it's really kind of becoming clear how much of Combiner Wars even is about the Combiners.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of them in this issue, but...
But not in a way that required combiners specifically. They're just big weapons.
Yeah, they just showed up and punched each other a bunch.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was hard to tell. Hard to tell what they were doing, but... No, but I mean, that's kind of the point. Like, the combiners could be anything, and it wouldn't make an impact to the story, really. You know, the same underlying plot here would still be carrying on, whether it was combiners or, you know, sentinel robots, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything to give a decisive advantage to one side or the other. You know, it's Combiner Wars, it's supposed to be advertising the toy line this year, but it's doing a really terrible job of it.
Yeah.
The Protectobots have barely been represented at all.
We haven't seen the Combaticons yet.
True, but they're 2016 toys, so they don't matter yet.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if we wound up with a Combiner Wars Part 2 next year.
Oh, God, no.
Please, no. I'll take it as long as it's not Livio drawing it again.
Too bad.
Yeah, well.
I'm just putting you all on notice. You're already all tapped for that when it happens. But no, I think this is a really bad way to promote the toy line, because the toys that they're promoting don't matter.
Yeah, you know, we get big fight scenes with the toys, and then we talk about political situations that have very little to do with the toys, and then we get more of the toys.
And like, I'm happy to see the political state on Cybertron shown more. You know, we're worried about that when the focus of the book shifted back to Earth, but like, it's not conducive to what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
The scope of the story needs to be different. It needs to be focused on the teams, not on the existing major cast.
Yeah. And the worst part is it looks very much like Combiner Hunters is going to be the same thing. It's going to be focusing on, you know, RC, Chromia, and Windblade, not actually on whatever Combiner they end up hunting.
Right. Which is probably going to be Victorion.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about Optimus Prime. Again.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear.
Every damn month.
Uh-huh.
So now Optimus is seeking an excuse for Prowl being Prowl, while Prowl just laughs in his face for how much he doesn't get it.
And also, you know, we get a line about, you know, Prowl says, "You don't even know the things I've done," and Prime basically says, "Yeah, I don't." So, you know, that interesting moral ambiguity we were hinting at the last couple months, where Prime would be willing to turn a blind eye to things like that to, you know, win the war. We basically, you know, eliminated that for the sake of making him back into good old clueless, ineffectual, if good-hearted Optimus Prime. Yay.
On the other hand,
what? I like these books so much better when Optimus Prime was not in them.
I know, yeah. Right? Okay, so like, you know, they put Optimus Prime back in this, and they put Megatron in More Than Meets the Eye. One of those works super well the way they're doing it. The other is this book.
Yeah.
Maybe they should put Optimus with the Decepticons.
Well, yeah, but I mean, remember how this started? Optimus goes and sees the Decepticons every night and just gets in fights with them. Because he can't understand why it's a bad idea to go walk through the ghettos, being Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's clueless, ineffectual, if good-hearted Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. No, but like, on the other hand, I'm kind of glad that at least so far they're not backtracking where Prowl has gone through this.
Yeah, but you know, one thing I've noticed about this issue, for an issue where Prowl does a hell of a lot of talking, none of it really explains anything.
No, but it all makes perfect sense to Prowl.
Yes, and
Prowl alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe next month after, you know, Ultra Prime separates and maybe we'll have a thing about either Optimus or Prowl getting where the other one's coming from, or maybe both. And maybe we'll actually get some concrete explanation of some of this, but I'm not really counting on it.
What I'm more concerned with is it going to be a lasting explanation? Or is it going to be an explanation of, well, somebody tinkered with his head again, and now we're just going to hit the reset button?
Yeah, you know, we've been hinting around that combining with the Constructicons has not been good for Prowl. So, you know, there is the possibility that once Prowl is hooked up to Optimus Prime's brain, he's going to go, oh no, I've done everything wrong, etc.
Well, Optimus and all the others. Because, like, you know, it's a whole aggregate thing. And, yeah, I could see that being its own reset button where it's kind of just, like, straightening out his damaged thought processes.
Yeah.
Watch this all get credited back to when Chrome Dome wiped his memory again.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Just every damn time. Did anybody else notice they're kind of playing fast and loose with how space bridges work?
I didn't actually notice that they went to a third planet until you mentioned it in the show notes. I was just like, Cavanaugh's is weird this time. What's up with that?
Yeah, I noticed. I saw the organics walking around in the foreground. But...
Yeah, that's what tipped me off, because like, the first time I read this, I did not notice the change of setting. But yeah, when I went through again to do the synopsis and the notes, yeah, there is life forms there, and I don't think Camdus has those.
I think some of that is my. Oh, go ahead.
I just said I couldn't tell they were organic. I you know, Livio, small parts of a Livio panel. What do you want?
Yeah, that was basically the point I was going to say as well. That's somewhat my credit of the art or illustrations that, you know, I was just figuring, okay, Camdus looks like this now, okay. And it has little organics running around who kind of remind me of, what's Wheelie's buddy, Garnak or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of looked a bit like him. I wonder if it's that planet. That'd be cool to bring in.
No, that planet was the one with the Time Ore, I think, wasn't it? Wasn't that his homeworld?
Who even knows?
I think we know what planet Garnak came from, but I can't remember which one it is.
Was the one Wheelie was stranded on, maybe?
Maybe?
Before he got
go back and read Dark Cybertron again to find out?
No, that was before Dark Cybertron.
Oh.
That's like Syndromica or even earlier.
Earlier, I think.
Yeah,
That's
we'll
more
back
towards Chaos, I believe. Go read that again.
Or for the first time, and nah.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah.
You don't need to. But anyway, they're playing fast and loose with the space bridge because, like, it starts screwing up. So the combiners fall through from Camdus onto planet Moai Head. And then Ultra Prime or Optimus Maximus or whatever he is comes through from Cybertron and lands there too. So, like, I mean, I could see the Cybertron side switching to a different destination, but I would think that would take the portal away from Camdus, and it's just kind of, it screwed up a bit.
Yeah.
It breaks the idea of the space bridge as like a linear tunnel. Like, one goes to point B, basically. It breaks that idea. Because mm-hmm. now you have two places both falling out into the same place, like a drain, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think here is, like, well, no, because that doesn't work either, because the combiners didn't all go through at once. So it had to be connected to both places at the same time, which just makes it all,
yeah.
Maybe there's a bunch of roads in there, like the RID cartoon or something.
So basically, screwing up the space bridge on Cybertron also screwed up the space bridge on Camdus, which made it lead to another destination, which the one on Cybertron was also now leading to.
Quantum entanglement, how does it work?
Probably not like this.
No.
Also, I nominate for the name of whatever city that used to be, from just the overall color scheme and grumpiness of it, I'm going to go with Huffer Maximus.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Because, like, by the rules, that should be another Metro Titan or the remains of one, but that sure looks like it's made of stone.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like it might have two big squares that are kind of like Metroplex's box chest. So that could be a Titan, even though it looks like stone.
Maybe it just got paved over.
Could be. I suspect it's supposed to be a Titan, just... It's Livio.
It is. No, like, if it was a thing where all the combiners went through at once, I could accept it as, you know, the space bridge was fluctuating, they fell through as the portal was closing on Camdus, ended up there where the Cybertron side's connecting to now, and then Optimus and them followed through, but, well, it's obviously still active to Camdus also.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been interesting story-wise if contact with Camdus was lost for a while because of this. You know, it jumped to the next location, they can't just switch it back.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
But I don't think that's really the case, because that would be interesting.
Yeah. They'll probably get the space bridge working wherever this is and be able to go back or something.
Something. Okay, so Scoop's Faith in Starscream. Mark, you want to take that?
Yeah, this is something I've thought, like, ever since Scoop's been introduced. It's just, his faith with Starscream has been all over the place, and sometimes I think I can understand it, sometimes I can't. Clearly, he has a religious view that sees the Chosen One and understands that and reveres that. But as a person, he utterly can't stand Starscream, and for good reasons. You know, Starscream openly mocks him and his religion to his face, saying, "But you can't hate me because I'm the Chosen One." So, like, that's still crazier still, but I guess that level of devotion helps in that it actually is enough devotion to shine through in Devastator, because you see someone like Prowl, you're like, okay, Prowl can definitely shine through in a combiner. He's got a big enough ego or persona, whatever you want to call it. Scoop, who cares about Scoop, but his devotion, I guess, is big enough.
Yeah, I guess I just kind of took it as, you know, the way the combiners work, especially with the Enigma involved, everybody's influence gets felt, and so, you know, having the echo of Scoop in Devastator, you get, it responds to Starscream then.
Yeah, and I guess the Constructicons don't exactly hate Starscream. If they hated him and then all of a sudden now Devastator likes Starscream, that would be, I guess, more pronounced.
I think the Constructicons are mostly just indifferent.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't too happy about being thrown in prison, though.
No.
But they got let out.
Yeah.
Work release, you know.
Here's a question just because, you know, refresh my memory. Starscream was calling to Blackjack to try and get him to control Menasor. Did that actually work?
It did not. And the whole reason Blackjack was put in Menasor in the first place was to make him uncontrollable. So go figure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really funny now. I didn't put that together.
And as I recall, when Blackjack was actually, you know, in the book briefly, he was kind of... He definitely did not have any kind of strong feelings about doing this for Starscream the way that, you know, Scoop has strong feelings about Starscream being the Chosen One, and Prowl has strong feelings about whatever the hell Prowl has strong feelings about that lets him control Devastator.
No, he didn't. He was used solely because he had a bit of a temper problem, and he was used to make Menasor be uncontrollable.
Although Blackjack is one of Starscream's secret police, which means he's notionally loyal to Starscream, so that could exert an influence too, except it didn't because the psychotic Stunticons overpower it, I presume. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
And they were in combat too, so, I mean, trying to tell the Stunticons to stand down is a bit stronger than don't start a fight in the first place sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, even that didn't really work out.
I think that's what happened to Devastator, too. It's, you know, he wasn't there to fight the Autobot Combiners, and then he's like, okay, if they're going to hit me, I'm going to start ripping them up, too.
And see, this is kind of the problem with this, because, like, there's all this interesting material to work with in, like, the mechanical function of a Combiner that's basic, it's very largely unexplored in Transformers fiction. This had the chance to do that, and it's just not.
Because the first three issues of this were all about politics, and we've decided to cram the robot fighting into the last two issues.
Which is still pretty much about politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, Starscream may have a mole on each of the Decepticon Combiner teams, but it's not all that reliable.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show. Let's talk about Livio Ramondelli.
Audible fringe.
Isn't it convenient how Scoop is suddenly drawn extra large just before he's added to Devastator?
I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed that.
He was never taller than Starscream before.
No.
Even when Livio was drawing him, he was not that tall.
Yeah, and now he's head and shoulders taller than Starscream.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he didn't get repainted.
Yet.
Yet.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at that point, you know, why not just give him a respray before, or for that matter, I'm surprised the Enigma can't just change his color to match. Because it can do everything else.
And change his head to look like Scrapper and
Yes.
So they can just start calling him Scrapper, because that's where this is going.
There's an easy way around that, though. When they split the next time, somebody just needs to punch him really hard in the face, so we have to put a faceplate on to cover the damage, like Bumblebee.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
If this was animated, they'd switch to Scrapper's voice actor now.
Sure.
Just full complete going back to, he's Scrapper now. Who's Scoop? Mm-hmm. Forget him.
Like, if, you know, we only have one issue of actual Combiner Wars left. Like, the next issue of the Transformers is, like, an epilogue deal, but I don't think it's going to focus much on this. It would be interesting, though, if Devastator could stay in action long enough to show Scoop's personality being consumed into the Constructicons and Scrapper reemerging, but I sort of have my doubts.
Well, I'm sure that'll happen eventually.
I have a feeling it'll happen next issue and take, like, a whole panel.
That, too. That could be that, yes.
Well, if they go back to Earth, I guess they could meet Spike again and do that like they almost did there before they had to come back here for Combiner Wars, so they could go restart that arc again.
You know, I've said this before, but it's a real shame that when the Earth thing started to actually be interesting, they had to dump it and go do this.
Yeah.
On the plus side, like, one of the first issues now after Combiner Wars is, like, RC and Galvatron, so that's good at least.
I thought it was Cosmos.
Honestly, I'm still not feeling the Earth stuff, personally, but...
Yeah. The characters they have over there are being developed interestingly. Maybe not the humans, but...
Yeah, the humans are all still kind of idiots, but...
Well, that's a human for you.
Yeah, it has potential, but it's just not there yet, you know. Just
but it was growing. It was getting there.
It was, and hopefully it'll have time to get there when we're done with this.
Right. And hopefully we don't come back to this for a good long time.
Yeah, before Combiner Wars Part 2 next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if they do that, though, they can, like, just make it its own contained miniseries.
That would be nice.
I mean, I'm still going to conscript the three of you to that regardless, but, you know. Maybe you could not infringe on the other books so much.
What did we do to you? I mean, honestly.
You're here. You're alive. So, you know, it's kind of a shame. There was points in reading this where I felt like things were not terrible visually. Some of the models even were almost not lopsided. Then the Combiner fight happened and it all became a train wreck again.
Yeah. I just keep looking at that, you know, shot of Orange Leg Devastator where he's getting repaired. That chest wing. There is no way that chest wing makes sense in physical space.
Hang on, I gotta go back and look at that.
Yeah, I'm going back over this.
Go
right
look
now.
At that. Look at those angles. That's not right. That's not anything like right. I mean, maybe if you rearrange the center box, but, of course, then if you rearrange the center box, that would mean the entire, like, torso is off-center, but yeah, that's so wrong.
Well, Hulk's not used to being the chest. He's getting back in shape.
His suit just doesn't fit as well as it used to. Somebody stretched it all out. Gonna be tugging at that collar for weeks.
Hey, I mean, in IDW, Hook's never had a chest plate before, so he's not used to it.
I just keep looking at this, and it reminds me of that awful Gundam Cell I used to have a copy of, you know, the picture.
Yeah. No, I think that looked a little better than this.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's horrible. Just thinking that is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at this picture of Orange Leg Devastator now and thinking this would have been the perfect opportunity to make, you know, Mixmaster look like his new toy coming out, and they still didn't do it.
Because Livio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's jump on this a little bit. Speaking of not looking like upcoming toys...
Oh, God.
What the hell is that Ultra Prime?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Ironhide leg hurts to look at.
Okay, like, it's the Ironhide The Ironhide leg is very patently the Cybertron-style vehicle mode Ironhide design put in a leg, which is not at all consistent with the toy. Mirage is just, like, the normal Mirage robot mode chest stuck on a leg. And he seems to have an extra, like, little tumorous thing between that and where the thigh connects. That I can't really figure out.
The Prowl does not look like an arm made out of a robot. He just looks like an arm.
I think what that tumor is that was supposed to be half of Mirage's spoiler, and Livio forgot the other half.
Oh. You know what? That actually makes sense.
It does. It makes depressing, depressing sense.
Right, no, but, like, Prowl's the worst thing here, because it is just a robot arm with a tire stuck in it and two doors put on the shoulder.
And, yes, and the door is, like, vaguely Prowl headwing shaped.
What, Matt?
I totally did not notice the doors.
Yeah, they're there.
Okay, I can see that now.
Yeah. Doesn't help anything, but they're there. And I think, on that panel on the forearm is supposed to be the rear window.
Okay, sure.
Why not?
And then Sunstreaker is a thing.
The yellow thing.
Yes, that's how you can tell Sunstreaker.
Pre-wash that, though. It's not very yellow.
It's yellow enough.
And again, the perspective does not match on any two parts of this.
Yeah, because Mirage is kind of pitched in towards center. And Ironhide's pitched in the same direction.
Look at where the shoulders connect. That's going to drive me insane now.
And you know, look at the shapes of the two, like, sides of Ultra Prime's chest. You know, the parts that fold out on the actual figure. They are at completely different angles. They don't even look like they're related.
Okay, I can top all that. Did any of you look at the thighs? The parts that are actually part of the Optimus toy.
Oh yeah, and how they don't match at all.
Right.
The way Ironhide's is drawn, I almost wonder if it's supposed to be his face.
I'm at a loss here.
This is the last page. It was rushed.
This man must be super nice and meet deadlines like a champion. That is the only thing I can think.
Like, I'm looking at the toy right now. Well, I'm looking at Motormaster, but for the purposes of this, it's close enough.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just trying to figure. The only thing I can think is that on the Ironhide leg, like, he knew enough that the hood of Ironhide or something was blocking. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Well, it doesn't make sense either, but, like... No, I'm just going to roll with this. What if he was shown, like, just, you know, uncolored gray prototype of this combined? So he knew, like, who was supposed to be where. And, like, on the Ironhide, like, he knew there's something over the thigh, but it's all gray, so he can't tell what it is. So he just puts a gray panel over the thigh because he's not sure if that's part of Ironhide or what.
Sure.
The thing is, on this theory, it doesn't explain why all the limbs look like that.
Yeah, he could not have possibly have seen a toy. I have at least that much expectation.
And that
this is just him pulling it out of thin air.
That's the thing that doesn't make sense to me, because, like, okay, obviously he had the Optimus toy to work from for the torso, because there's too much of that that's right.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much of the toy's detail that's represented on there. Saying it's right is probably stretching it a little bit, but, like, you can tell what that's based on.
Yes, it's recognizable.
But, like, all of those limbs, despite that they're going to be different colors and stuff, they're the same toys as all the stuff that's available. And there would have been pictures of to work from at the time.
But to be fair, he can't draw any of them right either.
And also, to be fair, still somehow mainframe and what's-his-face happened two issues in a row.
Yes.
So, like, I don't. What? How? What?
I think one of the Enigma of Combinations powers, for one thing, is to cancel Euclidean geometry.
Obviously, but still.
This kind of makes me wish that the Combiner had a different head, though, because this really just feels like Optimus wearing the other Autobots. But well, I guess that's as much a toy issue as anything.
Yeah.
Because really, that still looks like Optimus's head. I mean, that might be the art here as well, but that really doesn't look that
what
different.
Art?
Okay, from the illustrations. You know, like, the toy's head actually has some Power Master Prime vibes to it. This doesn't look that different from Optimus on, like, a previous page. Also, it's kind of small.
It's kind of there.
Yeah, like, that's a personal gripe, I guess.
It's kind of there the same way the rest of the toy detail is kind of there. It's just being represented so, so badly.
I hope I do get to see Sarah Stone draw this next issue, because I kind of want to see where she goes with it.
I mean, that ought to be the case.
I hope.
I don't see... I mean, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's... gotta be better than, like, there's no guarantee she had a proper reference model for it, but even if she's having to make up most of the details herself, it's still gonna look better than this.
Yes.
Like, for one thing, Prowl will have more than one wheel in evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll have no wheels in evidence, which would be just as good.
Yes.
But it's just that one wheel sticking out!
Yes, nobody else has any wheels exposed. Well, Mirage.
Sunstreaker does. I can see it.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, right next to Prime's hip. There's a wheel on Sunstreaker.
Oh, yes, so there is.
That and one, like, wheel on Prowl is basically the one wheel Optimus has there in his robot mode. You know, it looks just like Optimus's forearm.
It does, doesn't it? And actually, there's a big flat panel on that arm.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Huh. Huh.
Oh, well, I can kind of see another wheel built into Prowl's shoulder. I didn't see that before.
Is there?
Yeah, look real close.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Oh, in between the doors. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, sideways wheel.
That's two.
No, but I think we're on to something, that basically this is just the toy Optimus's arm drawn in place of, you know, the arm that's supposed to be there.
Yeah, he didn't know what the toys looked like, so they just told him to draw Prime bigger and color his limbs differently, basically.
I mean, that's pretty much what it looks like, except for Mirage.
I wonder if he'll get a better name than just Ultra Prime or something.
He could be Optimus Maximus.
That's true, I guess.
He could.
If you think that's better.
It's still pretty much Optimus and his four friends, you know, not a combiner as such.
Optimus Prime and his amazing friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Prowl.
Yeah.
Hey, Optimus still thinks he's a friend, because, you know, Optimus is completely oblivious, and what was it again? Clueless, ineffectual, if good-hearted Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Trademark.
That needs to be on his business cards now.
Yes.
Add it to the wiki.
No, I just look at that and I hurt.
Look how much time we have gotten out of just nitpicking this one panel, this one drawing.
Right, but like, when I got to that last page, I just sat there and stared at it in stunned disbelief.
Hey, do you remember? Margaret Scott said there was a combiner that would break the internet. And it's not the combiner, it's the drawing of it.
And it didn't break the internet, it broke, like, logic.
And us, to a degree.
And my spirit.
No, like, I don't think there's any, like, I don't think any credit should be given for that there just was not design models to work from, because all the toys that it's based on are out. That just wasn't used.
Mm-hmm. And this is a forced toy commercial that's interrupting our story. If the toys aren't there for that, it's really backwards. We're talking movie levels of backwards where we don't know how many Constructicons there are.
Or Aerobots, or Protectobots.
I think the official word on the movie Constructicons is that there's as many as there needs to be.
Yeah, like, there's lots after the fact.
There's lots of Constructicons, and any seven of them can form a Devastator.
Okay, sure.
They just don't ever, except for that one time. Apparently.
So if there was any good news in the art or illustration, at least it wasn't nighttime the whole time. Like, the first, the page there has Yumi in the universe, the title page, you know, you've got nice, fairly nice blue skies up there. It's nice to just see a bit of a color palette or color temperature difference, in parts, at least.
Because that's probably the photo he found on the internet.
Yeah. Then again, the half the comic's in red as well, so there's that, too.
And there are a few panels, again, that were some with, like with Menasor attacking the space bridge, where not everything is completely filtered, where you can actually see the colors that Windblade and Wheeljack are supposed to be. And that doesn't look bad. There's an awful lot about Livia's art that I don't like, but those filters are the worst of it. They make everything muddy and ugly and really help bring out the other flaws to an astonishing degree, actually.
See, the experiment I want to see is let Livio just do line art and, like, have somebody else do coloring. Give him the same amount of time he has to do the lines and the coloring normally to just do the line work and see if that makes it better.
That would be nice.
Like, see if he can slow down a little bit and focus more on just, like, the structural part of it, and let somebody else worry about the coloring, and see if we can actually get some decent art out of it.
Yeah.
Which I'm willing to bet you could, but, I mean...
Yeah, I've seen stuff he's done, like, particularly just in pencil, like, real pencil on real paper, no Photoshop involved, mm-hmm. that, you know, looks good. The geometry is right, the perspective is right, the shading is right.
Or at least better than this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like what you'd expect to get if H.P. Lovecraft wrote about, you know, looking at giant robots and going mad, which is what we have.
Yes, that Ultra Prime is Lovecraftian.
It is.
You stare at it and your mind just lights on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never quite the same again.
No.
On the other hand, unless I'm forgetting something, this should be our last Ramondelli for a while.
I hope so.
Well, who's doing the next issue?
Well, Windblade, as we pointed out, was Sarah Stone.
No,
wrap up Combiner Wars. 42 should be back to Griffith.
Okay.
Should be. I can double check that.
Please.
Talk amongst yourselves while I do that so we don't have dead air.
Well, oh, okay. I just noticed something. I was looking at the covers, and they have one of them is the Optimus Maximus, like the white Optimus with the hot rod for the chest, and that's got Toy Accurate Sunstreaker and, I assume, Mirage, maybe Prowl for a leg. So somebody saw those designs in time for this issue.
Yeah, well,
that's Prowl for the leg, and that pretty much shows us that it's going to be the Streetwise mold.
Okay, yeah. So that is the box art for, or the on-package art for Optimus Maximus, which will be on the white Optimus repaint in Wave 4, and that's probably Marcelo Mateer again. Because it's the same style as the Superion and Menasor that were the previous incentive covers.
And hopefully we'll get the other half of that, which we haven't gotten the best look at before, on the next issue of Combiner Wars, because that's sure what it looks like we're going to get.
Yeah, that can't be intentional to cut the picture in half that way.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah,
that's no golden ratio, man.
Okay, I was mistaken. 42 is Ramondelli.
Ah!
Ramondelli and Andrew Griffith.
Okay. Canscream.gif.
So I'm not sure how they're going to split that up in a way that's not just a complete style clash, but, you know.
It would be kind of interesting to see Ramondelli color Griffith's line art, just to see how his style works with, you know, geometry.
True, although the preview solicitations that I'm looking at don't typically list colorists, so I don't think that's the case.
That's true.
Interesting idea, though.
Yeah.
But when we go back to 43 in July, that will be Griffith. Entirely.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Is that Soundwave and Cosmos?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Which should be fun.
Yes. Yeah.
See, there's things to look forward to in the future, just not entirely next month.
Yeah. Just not the events.
Yeah.
The big events. Well, that's not the important part.
You'd never look forward to the events.
Fair enough.
And you know, that's just kind of a thing that has always been true for as long as I've been reading comics, but the event books still sell.
Yeah.
We're suckers.
Even though, yeah, everybody hates them, but, you know, this time will be different.
This time will be different, and I can't stop, and I can't not buy the comics, so, yeah, we're suckers. We're all suckers.
I didn't think this time would be different.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like, well, I'm stuck with this, so might as well roll with it.
Yes, and it's, you know, it's connected to toys we really like, which is kind of sad. Actually,
I think it actually diminishes my like of the toys.
That's really sad.
it does not affect my love of the toys because I don't associate them with this. So
it's kind of hard to
like them either.
Just yeah.
Well, they don't look like them, and like the individuals in the combiners aren't even in the stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, look at this and tell me where Breakdown was. At all. More importantly, Dragstrip, who actually was not in any page ever, individually.
I forgot that.
Yeah, like, who is Rook? It's a head
Larry.
In the background.
He's one Larry. Called Larry.
Yeah.
When he formed Defense Corps, Starscream even said, U5.
Uh-huh.
And Rook was nowhere in there. It was, you know, Hotspot and...
No, he was first... there. He was sticking his head up in the background.
Yeah, it was...
Look again.
Do I have to?
It's Groove that's not in the combined form.
Yeah, it was Groove and Hotspot and First Aid and Grotusk and Mainframe.
Yeah,
and Rook sticking up in back.
Yes.
And you know what the best part is? The Enigma could have actually put Grotusk and Mainframe together with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered that already. That's why Defense War talks like Computron.
And now I need repaints of, you know, Combiner Wars compatible Grotusk and Mainframe now.
What would you make Mainframe out of, though?
What would you make Grotusk out of?
Yeah, that's interesting you go to that first. Yeah, we'll get Grotusk if they ever do any of the Beast Combiners, maybe.
Yeah. You know, like, Mainframe notionally turned into a computer. Now, you know, you might be able to, like, take Off-Road and make some kind of, like, animal-looking thing out of him. Just in shape. But you can't really turn a car into a computer.
I'll tell you what you do. You take the First Aid mold and you stand it up just like the Dispensor toy that Japan put out.
You know, take the hood off, replace it with a different piece. You know, drop the wheels.
Sure.
Yeah.
And now I'll be disappointed it won't happen.
Just like Nightbeat.
Yes.
But yeah. There's a third party Signal Lancer, so everything's okay.
Yes.
Well, anything else we want to cover before we stop?
No,
sure,
I think
was the
safe.
Last page.
Oh,
that last page.
Yeah, this is probably the best ending to a comic, and I use best in a particularly interesting way since we saw what was in the Black Room and we saw all the Decepticons were still alive. This is the most impactful page since that.
Except all the impact has nothing to do with the story and just the way it's presented visually.
Still lots of impact. It hits you.
Repeatedly in the face.
Blunt
and the dick.
If you gaze too long into the Ultra Prime also gazes into you.
Oh, it's okay, though, because its eyes aren't even pointed in the same direction, so it can't look at you with both of them at once.
Oh, good point. Okay, we're cool.
Even if he gazes into you, he'll be ineffectual and good-hearted.
Yes.
Well, no, because Prowl's in there, too, so...
It'll be Prowl as well, which was nice to see again in the roll call and not a mistake.
Yeah, I looked for that specifically just to see.
I forgot about that.
I guess it's just saying Prowl is out for himself.
Yeah.
Or something, I don't know. Well, anyway, that'll do it for us this week. We should be back next week with Part 5 of Combiner Wars and Windblade number 3, I guess. Schedules are such a funny thing. We'll see you next time.
Need to catch up? Visit tfradio.net/Amazon and start shopping for collected volumes of all the Transformers titles. For comic book news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com. Fanboy vs. Transformers is a Radio Free Cybertron production.